Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by the hardest working person in all of sports infotainment, Denise Salcedo. How's it going, Denise?
It's going good. Happy Friday.
And a happy Friday to you. I mean, I know it's early for you on a Friday, but have you got that Friday feeling about you?
My Friday feeling's always the same. I'm very tired on Fridays. Fridays is like my lazy day. I don't like to do anything on Fridays. I still got to do stuff, but I don't want to.
Yeah, you don't want to. But anyway, well, we got stuff to do here. We got to talk about WWE and its stale ass product. Here is the show.
The sleepiest person on Friday is now what I want to be known as. I wake up, Fridays is my earliest day that I wake up in the mornings. I have you to blame for this, Luke.
Oh, you are so welcome for that. I actually was going to give you the introduction today. I'm actually behind on my introduction for you because I try to come up with a new one for you each week. And I was going to go for Little Miss Viral Tweet because it seems like every single week now, Denise Salcedo puts out a tweet and it's just got like all of the interactions.
I don't know either, honestly. It's just like, I have no idea how I do it. It just happens. You know, I manifest things. It just happens.
But we are joined by a very special guest this week. One of the coolest guys in all of sports infotainment. From True Heel Heat, from Wrestling Daily, SP3. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me both. It's a privilege and honor to be here once again with you. Look, I think just over a year ago, you first invited me on the WrestleTalk Friday podcast. So it's a reunion. You opened the forbidden door for me to come into WrestleTalk and I put my clothes in the drawer and I haven't left yet. Now I'm on Wrestling Daily and it's an honor to be with you, Denise, because your viral tweet of what wrestling hill to die on got me a lot of heat and attention when I said, if not for Ronda Rousey, would have never made a vetted WrestleMania. And then you actually followed me because
you
of
know
that.
What? So- I followed you back because I saw some of the responses that you were getting from people. And I was like, I kind of agree with him. And also here's the other thing that I was like, here's the thing. And this is my whole thing with that whole situation was like, I asked people, what wrestling hill are you willing to die on? All right. And like, I just kind of felt like if people posted their opinion and then I saw other people trashing their person's opinion and then they weren't even putting their own hill to die on. I was like, so you're coming on here attacking other people's hills, but not being brave enough to put your own hill on here. Suck it, bro. Get out of here. So I saw that you were getting attacked and I was like, you know what? He stuck to his guns and I can respect that. And then, I mean, there was a whole other controversy with that. I mean, I don't even want to touch that anymore, but like,
GIF of you with the pizza coming back to Twitter and everything's on fire. I had to
I just kind of felt like, you know what, he stuck to his guns. I can respect that, Luke. As you know, that's something that I can respect. Not like
you
last week
indeed,
when you almost threw when you threw Alex underneath the bus.
Yeah, I mean, it all I did that for comedy purposes, but like, I mean, people took that real serious.
Wait, did we get a lot of responses on that?
I got some people being like, come on, man. Like, you said the thing as well. You can't just say that Alex just said that. And I'm like, oh, I know. I'm very aware of that. I think
I made it worse for you that day because I kind of like shun like a bright spotlight on that.
I find that like Ollie and I have found this sort of since like we started to gain some like traction and stuff, and like the pair of us started to become a little bit popular on YouTube. I'm not gonna say that we're popular, but like when people start to like really like watch our shows and stuff, a lot of Americans did not pick up on our sarcasm.
No.
Because we would often just say things on streams in our very sarcastic tones, and people would be like, I can't believe you said that on a stream. I can't believe you really think that. I was like, no, quite clearly I don't. Like I'm saying this for comic effect. But yeah,
really?
A lot of Americans did not pick up on our sarcasm.
Do you think we just have different type of sarcasm?
I think so, yeah. I think your sarcasm is like, I would say it's Chandler from Friends is sort of like, that's an American level of sarcasm. He's like, could you be anymore? Like, that is a level of sarcasm.
What level Whereas, like, of sarcasm are you guys?
We just say things. We just say things that are quite clearly very... like, you know, not great things to say, but just sort of like with a knowing smile of just like, oh, yeah. And of course that, right?
I understand.
It's more like Larry David sarcasm, kind of closer to that than Chandler. And that is actually who I would be on Friends. I am Chandler. So I like the reference.
I love it. I'm Ross. You can't be Ross
because Ross is a nightmare.
Ross.
He's a nightmare. He's an awful, awful human being, and you're lovely. There's no way you could be Ross.
He is psychotic, dramatic, and hilarious. That is me. All right, well, you gotta pick somebody, Ross, somebody today. I'm representing Team Ross.
I'm Rachel. I'm the most consistent character.
All right, Rachel.
You got left at the altar? Oh, poor Luke.
Oh. We should have had lower thirds today, and it should all be like our friend's character.
Right, okay, so we are going to get into our topic of conversation in just a little moment. But also, at about, I'm going to say maybe quarter two, so in about maybe half an hour's time, I have got my Taylor Swift Shake It Off karaoke done and ready. Honestly, I finished the export of it at about 2 minutes before 4 p.m. So if anyone is wondering, like, why the hell were you guys so late today? That is why, because I was like exporting it so late in the day. I've done all of this this afternoon. My wife came upstairs and was like, your face is very red. And I was like, I know. I've been running around trying to get this dang thing finished. So, we'll see.
When do we get to watch it? Like, what point during the show?
In about, I think in probably about half an hour's time, I think.
You should tell, like, the people to, like, hit that like button. And the second we hit, like, a certain number, that's when you'll play the video. Come on, Luke. Get them numbers.
Well, we're currently at 100 likes, which is very good, actually. Thank you very much for all those 100 likes. Maybe we could try and get to, like...
500?
No, I was going to say 500.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't 500. Sure, like, what the number is. Okay, 500. Excuse me.
Gotta go for, dude, big. I can get to 300 in my sleep. Come on now.
No, wait, sorry. Hold on. 513, please.
Okay, 513. The gauntlet has been set down. We're almost at 200. Let's get into the main topic at hand. So, this actually, you know, because... I think, I don't know if you guys get this a lot, but I get this every now and again on the old Twitter machine and on YouTube comments and stuff. It's like, well, you're very anti-WWE. Like when I say like, well, Raw's pretty boring at the moment. It's like, well, you're anti-WWE. You just want WWE to be bad. And there is a very famous British sitcom over here, or sitcom, sorry, Denise, over here called I'm Alan Partridge. And in that first series of it, he calls up his ex-wife in a very sort of like upset state to have a go at her new partner's choice of car, because he's got a very bad car, and he insults the car and he says, not my words, the words of Top Gear magazine. So in this sense, these isn't our words, these are the words of John Cena himself. He said to USA Today, I wish there was some sort of fountain of youth where I could be a full-time contributor. The longer WWE continue to bet on an aging prospect, that makes WWE's future a little less stable. And I've been kind of saying this since like the rumors of SummerSlam started, was like, oh yeah, the two main events will be Roman Reigns versus John Cena, and it will be Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. I was like, dang, we're relying on the part-timers, I guess, going back to that old age. And, you know, and WrestleMania's always had the same problems. SP3, you are nodding in sort of agreement, so I'm going to come to you first. What did you make of Cena's comments?
He's like preaching to the choir when it comes to me, because I've kind of been on this bandwagon for a while. I think it goes all the way back to like WrestleMania 34 when, you know, the talk was, oh, we're going to bring the Undertaker back. And I was like, what? I was literally there at WrestleMania 33 and saw him retire. Why are we bringing him back? And I kind of made the analogy when they did the DX versus Brothers of Destruction in Saudi Arabia, that WWE is becoming what they hated. For a long time in 1998, 1999, WWE with Triple H, The Rock, all these young stars would point over at WCW and be like, oh, you're relying on nostalgia. You're relying on the old stars. You're not giving an opportunity for the new stars. And now that's exactly what they're doing. That's why when the report started coming out that, oh, WWE is going to make new changes. They're going to come out with new stuff. And I was like, that just means old stars are going to be coming back. And that's exactly what's happened. You got John Cena, you got Goldberg coming in. I wouldn't be surprised in 6 months, The Undertaker makes a return. I know we got the final farewell, but that's just what The Undertaker does. He has his farewells and then he comes back. But WWE has been relying on nostalgia as a boost for them for so long. And it works. It works every single time. And I'm someone that gets criticized for being anti-WWE myself. And I didn't tell you, Luke, last time I was on camera with you, but I let everybody know here, my wife works for WWE. So I want them to be successful. They put food in my stomach, in my kids' mouths. So I want them to be successful. If I go on camera, I go on YouTube and I criticize WWE, that comes from a place of love. And them relying on older stars has been going on for way too long, to the fact that you have guys in NXT there for years and they get called up and you're like, oh, this is a fresh new star. Well, you got Damian Priest, who's 38. You got Matt Riddle, who's about 36, 37. These are your new stars. Big E finally gets a push. He's 35 years old. Like, they wait so long to capitalize on guys that when they came in, they were young, fresh, hot prospects, but they wait 7-8 years before to give them opportunity. This is going to keep going on for years to come.
Denise, what do you make of it?
All hail Legends Night. All right. No, but in all seriousness, I mean, you already touched on a lot of things that I wanted to mention, but I'll just kind of take off in a different direction here. And I kind of want to talk about what we were chatting a little bit off air was the fact that John Cena is Hollywood. He's at the point where, like, he knows no matter what, if he wants to pop in, for Summer of Cena in the future, WWE is going to say yes to John Cena. So I feel like he's definitely in the position where he can kind of say anything he wants and not have to worry about getting any heat whatsoever. And I'm sure there's people that are probably upset at this quote, to be honest. I don't think this quote's that big of a deal. And I know that's our topic of the show. But to be honest, I just think it was something that a comment. I think that given John Cena's nature, it wasn't anything bad whatsoever what he said. I thought that obviously he brought up some valid points, and it is true. Like, they gotta, you know, not rely always on the nostalgic acts, because, you know, fast forward in like what, 20 years, who are going to be the nostalgic acts by then? Like, what if they didn't build big enough stars to have those people come back? And I'm you know, obviously there are, because there's plenty of people that, you know, we're all going to be fans of still in 20 years. But the point is, though, that they just need to, like, here's the problem. And I'm going to use an example of the Rolling Loud Festival. So the Rolling Loud Festival, I didn't agree with a lot of the people that they put on those shows, because the people didn't know who they were. The matches were boring. There was no, no popping the crowd or anything like that. I actually thought that in that scenario, including some of the young talent with the, more known people, should have been the right call to do in that sense, because it's not your typical wrestling crowd. And then when the crowds came back, I remember on Raw, this was something that Sean and I were talking about, was the fact that some of the people that got the biggest reactions, like, during that period were all your like people that are already known? Like, I remember we had like what? We had like no reaction for like people like Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, no reactions for any of those people. But then, you know, you hear John Cena's music, and then you hear, you know, on the SmackDown side, you hear Edge's music, and it's like you get such different reactions to those people. And that is very telling when you see stuff like that, that, you know, a lot of the talent didn't necessarily get those exact same reactions. So I do think that there are times where they rely too much on previous talent.
Yeah, I think like it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, really. I think because they never put the time into making new stars, which, you know, has been a WWE problem for a long period of time. You know, a lot of people in our live chat today have been like, dude, like this company's been stale for a long old time. Why are you asking, are they in danger of becoming like, it's been stale for ages? But like because they don't really put a lot of emphasis into like a lot of new stars, they just sort of like cherry pick like one or two. You know, Seth Rollins, I would argue, is probably the last big star that they made. You are always going to get bigger reactions for the guys that you are putting. Like, we're going to bring back Nostalgia X because no one else is over. But then you're not trying to get anyone else over. So it's always going to be the Nostalgia X that are over. And I think it's very telling that whenever Raw ratings are bad, USA Network's response is put on Legends Night, because Legends Night brings in the viewers. Put on, roll out Ric Flair, roll out, you know, the red carpet for all of them, because that's what's going to pop the reins. Get Steve Austin on the show for a change. Sorry to get my mic stand there.
Here's the other thing that I do want to add, and I think that this is where they're necessarily making the mistake, is that they have people that can be stars. Like, that's not the issue, right? Like, they have the talent there. But the problem is, there are two problems. One, there are certain talents that I feel they don't believe in strong enough to actually let them go out there and become stars. And two, if you notice, they don't let their stars be bigger than the brand. By that, I mean, I don't think that they want a repeat of The Rock, Batista, John Cena, these people that make a name for themselves in WWE, and then they go off and essentially become bigger stars in Hollywood. And then this kind of ties into that whole conversation about, you know, third-party stuff, whether or not this person could be on Twitch or on YouTube, etc. I actually think that if they were to have, you know, Luke Owen the Wrestler on their company, and all of a sudden Luke Owen the Wrestler gets really over in the video game community, or I don't know, maybe you're this comedic actor on a Netflix series, I don't know, whatever the case may be, you're doing an outside project, instead of just thinking like, okay, this person's gonna leave, let's have that be something where it's like, oh, now you have these new eyeballs, where like these people that know you from a different different realm of entertainment could be like, oh man, like Luke Owen the Wrestler, oh, I'm such a fan of him when he comes out on that show, or on that, when he talks about this video game or whatever, I'm gonna go watch him on this. So I do think that they also need to allow people to kind of get a little bit bigger than the brands, so they could bring the attention there. Because, and then that's why they keep bringing people like John Cena back, because why? He became bigger than the brand. You know, situation's a little bit different with The Rock, but same thing, bigger than the brand. And I just feel like that is a fear of theirs, where instead of seeing it as a positive that somebody could get famous outside of more famous outside of WWE, they're seeing it as, you know, oh, they're just leaving us, and if they get too famous, then they're not going to want to be part of the company anymore.
Yeah,
so I was going to say SP3, actually. Actually, you make your point, then I'll bring up my question for you.
No, it was like everything that Denise just said was on point, because when you look at even the stars, I would say the stars that they last made were the Four Horsewomen. And even with that, it's kind of been sparing how they pushed them. Like, you know, Sasha Banks has gotten a lot of success, but she never successfully defended a title that she won for a very long time. But even her, she has this appeal and this look that has got her over to Disney Plus, beyond The Mandalorian. And now she's a star, where it was a question when she was off television, is she going to come back? Is she going to stick with Hollywood? I think WWE is scared of that. They're very much scared of anyone becoming becoming too big outside of their bubble, and they don't hold on to them for very long. That's why I think that it's been great what they've done with Roman Reigns, finally let him be himself, because they tried to put him into the WWE spectrum, and it was like WWE made Roman Reigns, but then when they let Roman Reigns be himself, he's become a bigger star. He's already made an appearance on the Hobbs and Shaw movie. You know there's going to be more success that happens after that. So I think that this is something that WWE doesn't want to happen, but it's also causing them to not have stars for nostalgia pops in the future.
Yeah.
I think the other problem they have as well, and actually it's something that Uptown Avondale's just brought up in the chat, like, look how quickly they flattened out Drew.
Yeah.
Like, that is an incredible point. And to illustrate that point, I just quickly loaded up. We did our WrestleTalk end of year awards, which we sent out to lots of wrestling personalities in the night. Denise and SP3, you both voted for in this for like the wrestler of the year. Drew McIntyre was wrestler of the year last year in the WrestleTalk awards. He had 7 top level nominations, 19 overall nominations. He beat Kenny Omega by nearly 30 odd points in terms of voting. And now, if I was to do this poll now, I didn't think Drew's cracking the top 10. I really don't know if he is. And if he is barely cracking the top 10. And I think that is a damning indictment of WWE's booking of that man over the last 6 or so months.
We are literally like in the final months of this year, it feels like. Yeah. Already. Like, we really are getting closer to the end of the year than we are closer to the year, right? Okay, anyways, the point is that Drew McIntyre, at the end of the year, when you come at me with this voting, I'm not going to vote for Drew McIntyre, and I already know it right now. Like, you don't even got to wait till the end of the year. I mean, unless they like dramatically do something different in the next couple of months, then all right, maybe. But as of right now, definitely, definitely not. And that's very sad, because they had something with him. Everybody, like, you wrestling fans, we're not always on the same page here whatsoever. I feel like Drew McIntyre was legit somebody that I would say that at least 90 or so percentage of the fans were like behind Drew McIntyre. And that's a pretty high percentage based on the fact that we can't agree on anything.
SP3, I mean, what do you make of Drew's like 2021 that he's had thus far?
It's just a case of WWE not wanting someone to get too big. And, you know, you brought up Seth Rollins before, but look what they did to him. They squandered his stardom for The Fiend. And now we see where The Fiend's at. So, you know, it's all what WWE kind of does. Like, that's why when you gave me the voting, I kind of had Drew maybe third in my wrestler of the year, because I was like, I don't believe he's still going to be in this spot. So what did really his successful 2020 really do for him? I had Jon Moxley higher because he became a bigger star than what he was in WWE in 2020. And he had a very, you know, establishing, adding prestige to AEW and the AEW World Championship. Kenny Omega was probably the worker of the year in so many different type of matches, whether it was singles matches, tag team matches, cinematic matches. I felt like their 2020s were more important to them and professional wrestling than what Drew McIntyre did. I feel like Drew McIntyre got the sympathy vote because WWE was put into hard times. WWE has the most eyes on them. And I just feel like it wasn't something that was going to last. And we saw what happened. Basically, they kind of passed him over to go to Lashley. I mean, even before that, by the end of the year, they kind of passed him up for Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns got the victory over him at Survivor Series. Roman Reigns put in promos before Survivor Series, "You're a great number two. You're a great number two, but I'm back now. I'm the number one spot. You're always going to be number two." And then he beat Drew. So it kind of confirmed what he said.
So I actually have, are we moving on to something else, or do I have time
to make an example? No, absolutely, please.
So I have an example
please,
based on what we're talking about here. So this is a real life thing that I just thought about like right now. Okay, so let's say, obviously the key to WWE growing their success contributes also to mainstream media. You know that there are only certain people that really get that mainstream attention, not everybody, because let's face it, like pop culture, like some of the pop culture websites aren't interested in a lot of the talents that they have right now, okay? All right, I'm gonna paint you guys a picture. You're on a red carpet. You guys are reporters. As fans and as people that know the business, you have Sting, Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, Becky Lynch, the Bellas. Out of just those names right there, who is on your list where you're like, I really want to interview this person?
Like, take me through the list again. Okay, so I've got
Sting. I'm going to give you Sting, mm-hmm. Ric Flair, Mick Foley. I'll give you Rey Mysterio and Kurt Angle, the Bellas, Becky Lynch. Who would be like the person that you're like, I need to grab this person? Like for you personally, for an interview.
For me personally, for an interview. I kind of always wanted to interview Sting, but I think Becky would be my pick though. I think Becky would be the person I'd go after.
Okay, what about you?
And you said like I'm like a Hollywood interviewer.
No, you're just an interviewer. You're just an interviewer.
Honestly, I feel like the best interview is going to be Ric Flair.
Okay, this is my point right here. Thank you guys very much. I just wanted to make a point. I'm going to give you guys an example. When they did that Fox blue carpet, they had every single legend that you can, like pretty much every single legend that you can think of. Okay, I'm talking Rey Mysterio, Goldberg, Sting, Mick Foley, all of those names, all right? And I will tell you that E! News, when they were there, you know who they interviewed the longest time possible? The Bella Twins. And you want to know why? Well, they're on the network, but they're also one of the only people that were on that list that had an outside project out of WWE. And they were the ones that got like a 20-minute interview. I don't even know if they interviewed people like Sting or Ric Flair or people like that, which is insane. Just want to make an example.
Oh, no, I mean, it's an excellent point, actually. That's a really interesting point. Although you were making me have horrible flashbacks to when I was doing movie reviews and I used to do red carpet events, and I hated doing red carpet events. Oh, they're the
Why
worst.
Why do you hate them?
They're so boring, man.
How are they boring? They're so, so adrenaline rushing.
No, there's no adrenaline.
Yes, there is, Luke.
I need adrenaline to keep myself awake.
Luke, I did like that for years. There's adrenaline.
Standing around for ages just waiting for people to show up so they can, you know, do your interview. And it's like, oh, hey, what about your new movie? Yeah, it's great. Cool. That's the 2 minutes I got. I guess I can write 20 news articles out of that, can I? A star of movie says movie is good. Excellent.
All right. Well, my experiences were totally different. Mine were adrenaline rushy because it was like, oh, I got to make sure I get this talent. Oh my God, I actually got this talent. Okay. There's a whole science to it.
That's why I asked, like, what am I? Am I like a Hollywood interviewer? That's who I would have picked. I would have picked the Bella Twins because they're on E. They're like I said for a long time before, you know, the era of the Four Horsewomen and Ronda Rousey coming in. I was like the biggest stars that women's wrestling had for a long time was the Bella Twins because them being on Total Divas created brand new professional wrestling fans. For better or worse, I don't think the Total Divas was the best television, although John Cena coming up with a cohabitation agreement is one of the greatest reality television scenes of all time. He changed the game for men out there. I just want to say that. But I would say that it created so many different like female professional wrestling fans and brought them in. And that's why when they did Evolution, it was Ronda Rousey, the face of MMA sports, coming into WWE versus Nikki Bella, because Nikki Bella was the biggest female star they could have put against Ronda Rousey in the main event. I was looking forward to Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair like everybody else, but I knew what the right decision was to put in the headlines, to put on the marquee. It's the two biggest names possible.
Exactly. My mom doesn't know Charlotte Flair. My mom doesn't know Sasha Banks. She doesn't know Bianca Belair. She doesn't know Carmella. She knows Nikki and Brie Bella.
Me and my friend, we went to a WWE house show back in sort of 2015, I think, maybe might even 2014 or something along those lines. A friend of ours at work, who she did not like wrestling at all. She was not interested in wrestling whatsoever. But she said, can you get me a Brie Mode t-shirt? And like, and do you know what? Brimo t-shirts were there. Were the Bella Twins booked? Were they balls? They weren't even in the country, but like they were selling Bella Twins merchandise because it was flying off the shelves.
Incredible. Incredible.
Oh yeah. By the way, like, so just to get my side of the thing with the red carpet stuff. So I used to like the website that I worked for as well, wasn't a big website. So we didn't get like, if I did the Expendables 3 red carpet events. I didn't get Sylvester Stallone for an interview. I didn't get Wesley Snipes for an interview. I didn't get whoever it was. Oh, they came up to me and like, we got these stars of The Only Way is Essex. Like, do you want any of them? I'm like, no, why would I possibly want to interview some reality TV stars about a movie they're not in? How would that possibly benefit me?
That is red carpets. I don't know what to tell you. Like, unless you're like the first three outlets, first five outlets, you ain't getting the big stars unless you got Denise Salcedo there.
I'm with it. I mean,
if you're in the last spot of the red carpet, you can have a major advantage. You just gotta go. I'm sorry. Can I have the menu? And then you're like, oh, poor thing. And then you're like, thank you. I got it. See, it looks like you gotta learn to work your charms.
I quite like doing, and I still get to do these as well. I like doing proper like media junkets in hotels and stuff where you go in there
fun.
And it's
that down and feed record. You and give you gifts.
Yeah, you get some like free sandwiches and things like that, a cup of tea.
A lot more than that. Like we get like a full on buffet. Like I'm talking like buffet.
Craft services.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Thing. I used to do background work. I used to do background work. That was the best part about it. I've been on like Law and Order. I was like, everybody's like, oh my God, you were on Law and Order? I was like, yeah, I sat next to Ice-T. They was like, what was your favorite part about it? I was like, craft services was the bomb. That was the best part.
They have a lot of food, Luke. A lot of food.
Dude, when I used to make, me and my friends used to make movies, we used to put on, like, we felt like, you know, we need to, like, feed the cast and everything like that. So we would just put together some real cheap-ass ham sandwiches because our budget was super-duper low.
I'm not coming out in one of your movies. All right. I at least need, like, they give you, like, these boxes where, like, they're all, like, let's say they do sandwiches, right? Like, they put labels on the boxes. You open it up. You get these beautiful cut. Thick sandwiches with like chips and a side, and then you go to the drink area. I mean, it's marvelous. Yeah, and they give you like bougie desserts that aren't good though, but they're bougie.
Like the rainbow cakes, the little
Give you like cups, and they're so fake. They look delicious, but they taste like butt.
Look cool, taste like butt. That's Denise Salcedo's new Twitter bio.
Look cool, tastes like butt. Trust me, you have no idea how many times that would happen to me. I would go and I'd be like, oh, that looks fancy, I'm gonna get that. I taste it, I'd be like, oh. That always happens, trust me. Don't eat the dessert at the fancy places.
Right, well, we've got to get into some of these Ultra Chats that we have got here. By the way, we are at 432 likes off our 513 target. So you need to get those thumbs up there, guys, to play my Taylor Swift music video. Keith Lloyd says, my conspiracy theory side is telling me that Ric Flair wanted to leave WWE. I think Vince will have Cena go over Reigns at SummerSlam to break Flair's record. So that's why they think that was the creative differences. That sort of like apparently that Ric Flair's been talking about. Denise, you think Cena's breaking the record?
Breaking the record? I don't know. I don't think so. I'm going to go with no.
SB3, do we think Cena's Universal Champion after SummerSlam?
If it was the Peacemaker, maybe, because that promotes the new show. But John Cena beating Roman Reigns, I don't see it. And I think it had more to do with him impregnating a younger woman against his daughter. That might have been the booking that he was against.
Oh, I misunderstood you. I was like, John Cena, he impregnated. I was this story.
I'm talking about Ric Flair.
Yeah, I completely forgot. I was thinking like real life stories. I was like, John Cena impregnated? Who? I know, told me?
When SB3 started talking, I was like, was there some story that I missed?
That's the same thing, right? Yeah, me too. I was I didn't hear this story. Damn, that sounds like a juicy story. Cool.
The scoop. I got the scoop.
Yeah, imagine. Oh my god.
Who'd have thunk it that SP3 is like scooping Sean Ross Sapp in 2021?
And a John Cena scandal.
Right on Wrestle Talk podcast. Right.
Okay, our light goal has been hit, so we will get to play the video. We'll do it in
a higher goal.
We'll do it in about 15 minutes or so. I want to get through some of these Ultra Chats.
Wow. Card subject to change.
Hey, dude, in all fairness, I didn't change anything. I said I would play that at about 15 minutes, like at about quarter to the hour. And then you were the one who was like, let's put on like a like thing, and we'll get people to like the video, and that's how we'll do it, and we'll like set up that way.
That's your impression of me?
I thought it was pretty spot on, to be honest.
What? How is that me?
How is that me?
Oh, I love this show.
All right, well, fine then, if that's what we're doing. Hey up, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Luke.
Let's get to 550, y'all.
I'm going to get better at my Luke impression.
Yeah, it's pretty good. James Hanley said, I searched WWE Stale on YouTube. The fourth hit was a WrestleTalk news video.
Wait, what was it? Fun. What was the quote?
WWE Stale on YouTube. The fourth hit was a WrestleTalk news video that was hosted by Luke with the title WWE Admits to Being Stale Until Fans Return. That was the Hell in a Cell 2021 review. Now I'm going to say it's a bit stale. That's true. Stephen Guzman, I think WWE has already gotten stale. In an era where so much exciting wrestling is happening outside just WWE, they feel stale and plain. My father is a casual wrestling fan, enjoyed GCW Homecoming more than WWE in 2021 because he said, I feel like WWE is always the same. Mr. Gajilli says, right on topic, I feel that WWE has no real long-term plans with no real stars, but maybe Roman, Seth, Charlotte, and Alexa with its stop-start stories and nothing seeming important points to Vince either destroying or selling his product. I'm not sure about that one. I still don't know where I sit on the selling the product thing, but I do think that he's right though, which is that like I think that if you are a big star, you have the long-term plans. If you're not, then you get the stop start week to week. Here's what's going on. Yeah. You know, we had that writer coming out defending the Karrion Kross angle, which was just like, guys, it was building to a story. It was how we're going to bring in Scarlett and this, that, and the other. It was like, that's why Jeff Hardy was going to beat him twice, because that's how we were going to bring this in. And then you're like, okay, cool. Then why did he beat Keith Lee? Because surely if your story was he was going to lose all the time, why did he win? Because you've stopped that story already. So like it all sort of falls apart like right at the off.
I don't know, man. I used to think that like I wasn't smart, and now I'm thinking that I kind of am, because I wouldn't have done the decision like that.
I thought it was crazy, the people that were defending it, and now we're seeing that it might have an outcome on the ramifications of stars re-signing with Adam Cole's contract being expired. Like, do you want to stay and get called up to the main roster and then become Karrion Kross, or do you want to stay in NXT and for another 4 years where you've already done everything you could, or do you want to go out to the open and go to an AEW, an Impact Wrestling, a New Japan, where if you sign with one company, you can work with all of them. So you'll never get stale.
But you know why people are defending that though? Because they just don't like Karrion Kross, versus looking at it as like, oh, he's the NXT champion. No, it's like, oh, I don't like that guy. That's what people are seeing it as.
Yeah.
Tariq says, Luke doing a Taylor Swift video is the only time I will voluntarily listen to her music. Cena and Goldberg are two different animals. Cena can still add something to the product, but Goldberg only detracts from it. Love you all. Greetings from Germany. That is an interesting point.
Did you hear that reaction from the crowd? I think if anything, we learned that the online community is not the only community.
I mean, oh, dude, I said the same thing in our Raw review. And I honestly felt bad. I felt bad for you, Denise, on the Fightful post show that you had.
Oh, that's because Sean doesn't let me talk. And he saw an opportunity to make a controversy that wasn't about him, that was about me. And he got everybody to attack me on that podcast and didn't even let me finish talking. I mean, it was like, and then people were putting words in my mouth. You've had that happen to you, right? It's terrible.
It happens all the time to me.
Yeah. All the time.
I don't know. SPV, what do you think? Do you think that Cena and Goldberg are different animals? Do you think that one of them isn't adding anything over the other?
Yeah, I mean, Goldberg is basically doing the same story that he did with Drew McIntyre in January. And it was the same story that he did with The Fiend in 2020. We've seen this story. It could go one of two ways, and it really has no outcome or bearing on the future of WWE even 2 or 3 months later. Like, did any, outside of being angry that Goldberg beat The Fiend, did his Universal Championship reign have any ramifications on WWE at all? He loses it to Braun Strowman in front of nobody. Braun Strowman holds the title for like 5-6 months, which was a boring 5 or 6 months. If you remember him getting slimed or beating up The Miz in John Morrison's car, or Alexa Bliss turning on him and stuff like that. And then, yeah, this year, the Drew McIntyre feud, it had no bearing because Drew lost the title a month later.
Yeah.
Tony P says, I know you all look for the same things when reviewing wrestling, storyline, entertainment techniques. So can you explain to me what you place more value in above most things or look for out for most? Curious to know Ollie and Sean's opinion if they're in the chat. So what do you place your most value on when you're watching Raw or Dynamite or SmackDown or NXT or whatever it is, Impact? What is the thing you place value on most of these?
In-ring skills for every match. The match needs to be good and entertaining because as somebody that watches a lot of wrestling, consumes a lot of hours of wrestling, I hate when something is mediocre, but because other people don't watch as much wrestling, they're like, oh, it's great. And you're just a hater. I'm like, no, it's trash because I've seen better.
Also, where's that comment that was just there? Luke's impersonation of Denise Salcedo is on point. Absolutely correct.
Well, then you know what, Luke? You should come here and do your little accent and be me, whatever. I want to see, you know, my dream scenario is I need to see Luke touring Los Angeles. I need to see you having like a brunch day. I need to see you at the Pink Wall, at Melrose. Like, I need to see you having a Los Angeles-esque day.
Oh, do you know what? I've watched Clueless so many times over the years. I think I would live the best LA day.
See, that's what I need to see. Like in my life, that's something that I need to see.
I will be the Dion to your share, Luke.
Oh, yes. Yes, I love that. Just let's not go on the freeway. It's terrifying on the freeway.
Oh my God. I'll lend you my Jeep too so that you can really live this life, the Clueless life.
I think I would look amazing in Cher's outfits as well. SP3, sorry, before we move on to a couple of more chats before we get into the music video, what do you place your value on when you're watching wrestling products?
If it's the weekly content, I need a balance. Like having good in-ring content is great, but there's some weeks like on an NXT, they never have bad wrestling, but sometimes it's really boring. Like this week was really boring to me because the angles are not that fun. There's like one or two good promos, but there's nothing that I can write and say it was noteworthy. Whereas AEW has that nice balance where you got the Hangman and Elite angles, but you also have good wrestling with Lee Johnson versus Miro. You got a great angle with Malakai Black's debut. So I like the balance with weekly content.
Yeah, I think I'm in a similar boat to you. Like, I would much prefer, shows being boring is the worst. I'd much rather a bad show than a boring show. Because these are bad shows, there's something to talk about. Like, there have been episodes when me and Ollie used to review Raw and SmackDown together where I was like, there's nothing to talk about this SmackDown show. It was just 2 hours of nothing.
Dude, I got heat for saying I didn't have nothing to say about this week's episode of NXT. I was like, man, chill, people. Like, people were mad. Like, how do you not have anything to say? And I'm like, damn, like, I'm sorry, but this show was not good today. And I got a little bit of heat for that.
The two best segments were pre-taped. The Prime Target with Walter and Dragunov and Dakota Kai's promo. That was it. Like,
and that wasn't even like anything to like be like over the moon completely. But no. I mean, based on that show, yeah, you could be over the moon based on everything else you saw. But compared to everything else, not really. Oh God. And they had like the worst makeout session ever. Like, come on. Like, me and my pillow could do better.
I'll be honest with you. I probably could have done a whole hour just on that Zoe Stark's Io Shirai angle.
Oh, God. Oh, I thought, dude, I was overreacting. How did you guys feel about that?
I legit said, go on SP3, you go.
I literally said it was the worst segment in NXT history. Like, I don't think that is far-fetched to say. It's one of the worst things, worst acting, worst message they were getting across with her being borderline racist
super racist. I don't like your food, it looks gross, let me throw it out. And also, you must be friends with everybody, or you must know everybody that looks like you. It was super racist. That's literally what happened. And you know what's sad? When I was watching this, I was like, oh, they're out to brunch, this is gonna be a great segment, let's see how they live their lives. And then I was like, oh, this is going the wrong direction. Oh,
it was bad, man. Was like, so bad. I said to I said on one of the morning meeting calls that we had, I was like, I don't think it's just the worst segment that NXT has done. I think it's probably the worst it's the worst thing that WWE has done in a long ass time. Like, as a whole, like across all three brands, I think it is up there with like Lashley Sisters level of like bad TV.
I'm trying. I don't know, because there's been a lot of bad stuff. I don't know if I'm too confident on that one, because there's been a lot of bad stuff.
Marcel Art said, I think another reason why WWE fears wrestlers to grow bigger than the brand is that they get used to the treatment they get elsewhere, and they expect WWE to do that as well. Healthcare is something awesome. Stay safe. Love you all. And the legit Thunderboss said, remember when Ryback said the WWE doesn't want another John Cena and everyone called him an idiot? I think we owe that guy an apology. Well, do you know what? I think it's time.
Oh, man. It's time. It's time. See, right. You were just prolonging it.
I know.
That's okay, what it really was.
Also, I am going to bring in another special guest into this stream who has been politely sitting in the back end waiting for his opportunity. Please welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, John Kiernan. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. John, if no one is aware, John does a lot of wrestling entrance music, don't you, John? Oh.
That's what they say, yeah. I'm the composer for the United Wrestling Network, and I've done things for PJ Black, Fred Rosser, and... Ring of Honor, New Japan, different people. I obviously am a fan of all y'all as well, and it is great to see you, my friend SP3. Always. We connected over at Bullet Club Block Party. Awesome times, my guy.
Yeah, it's great to see you, brother.
So the reason that John is here is because John and I were chatting anyway about having you on the show to do an interview, which I think we'll do like a full proper thing with you, but I kind of wanted you here for this. And that is because I suddenly was like, you know, I've got to do this Taylor Swift video thing because England didn't win the Euros. Do you think you could help me out here? And John was like, oh, yeah. I felt bad about asking because I was like, I'm taking up your time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm here. Like, you're a much more important man than to do this. And John was like, no, I'll do it. John said to me, oh, it'll take me about a week. Within 24 hours, he had me the rough track to like work with.
Amazing.
But so I've had, honestly, John, I'm going to apologize to you. I've had this for a week. I did this all in the last few hours.
I believe in you. I believe in what you're going to bring to the table.
Please don't. So I don't know what to make of what I've done because it's bad, but I don't know if it's like I only don't know what I was trying to create. Do you know what? Maybe I'll just play it. Maybe I'll just play it because I don't know. I may have to leave the room because I've watched this video enough. But like, I don't even know if I want to see what the chat has to think about this because I just think it's going to be just bad. But
wait, how many live viewers do we have at the moment?
We currently have, I mean, I'm trying to work out how many people are going to tune out. We're at just under 1,700. That number is going to drop. That number is going to drop.
I don't know.
You're
about to embarrass yourself in front of a lot of people, Luke.
It's going to be such a good time.
Oh, I don't know, John. So, like, I was thinking about this today. I am going to play the video, I promise you. So I always make the joke that WrestleTalk makes a lot of bad content. And I think that we do. We make a lot of bad content. This might be the worst thing we're ever going to release on this channel. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. I lost the bet with Denise Salcedo. She challenged me to sing Shake It Off on karaoke. I went one step beyond, I guess, with the help of the excellent John Kiernan. Here we go.
I stay up too late. Got nothing in my brain. And that's what people say. Oh, that's what people say. I could walk too many dates, but I can make them stay. At least that's what people say. Oh, that's what people say. But I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop moving. Like I got this music in my mind saying it's gonna be alright. Cause the player's gonna play,
play, play, play, play.
And the haters gonna hate,
hate.
Maybe I'm just gonna shake,
shake.
Shake it off, shake it off. Humphrey's gonna
break.
And the faker's gonna pay,
fight.
Oh, maybe I'm just gonna shake,
shake.
Shake it off, shake it off. I never miss a beat. I'm lighting up my feet. Oh, that's what they don't see. Oh, that's what they don't see. I keep dancing on my own. I make the moves up as I go. That's what they don't know. Oh, that's what they don't know. But I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop grooving. Like I got this music in my mind saying it's gonna be alright. Cause the player's gonna play,
play.
And the haters gonna hate,
hate.
Oh baby, I'm just gonna shake,
shake.
Shake it off. Humphrey's gonna play,
break.
And the faker's gonna pay,
fight.
Oh baby, I'm just gonna shake,
shake.
Shake it off. Shake it off.
Hey, and just think, while you've been getting down and out by the lies and the dirty, dirty cheats in the world, you could have been getting down to this sick beat.
My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's an old, my God. I'm just gonna shake it to the fella over there with the hella good hair. Won't you come on over, baby? We can shake. Cause the player's gonna play.
Play.
And the haters gonna hate.
Play.
Oh, baby, I'm just gonna shake.
Shake
it off. Shake it off. Heartbreaker's gonna break.
Play.
And the faker's gonna fade.
Play.
Oh, baby, I'm just gonna shake.
Shake
it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. I shake it off.
Luke,
we're not worthy. We're not worthy. That was glorious.
Pick that it head up, not. My brother. That was it.
That was amazing. I have so. I don't even. Is that really you singing BTW?
It really was. Yes, that was me doing it. Like
I didn't know you had that type of voice.
I had a very sore throat after doing it. Okay, yeah, I agree. There are some people saying, like, yeah, that was dreadful. That was bad. Yeah, it really was.
But you know, it's also really hilarious that I know you watched the music video too, because you did the like the cartwheels and the really bad gymnastics, because that's what she does in the video. And then I wasn't expecting the scene, you on the toilet. And then I thought you were going to change the word when she says, my ex-man brought his new girlfriend. And I was like, how is he going to play this part out? And so I thought that was hilarious. This was epic. This is the best thing I've ever seen.
And your timing was good, man. I got to tell you, you were just on point with the timing and everything like that. That was super fun, dude. And I like the little Easter egg in the back that you do have a guitar over in your place. So had I known that you play guitar, I'd asked you to do that.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I cannot play that guitar. I'm a drummer. Like, I can't play any instruments.
There you go.
You're going to clip this out, right? Like, you've got to put it out there. Like, this will get you, like, tons of views. Like, you've got
to
do it.
This needs to be its own video, for sure.
Yes.
At first, I thought I was watching Meshuggah for a second. I thought it was the lead singer of that. And then all of a sudden, we went into this. And I was like, all right, I am in the right place today.
That was amazing. I don't think you made it seem like it was just going to be you in front of a wall being like, shake it off. Like, I thought it was going to be really bad.
I wanted to, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to AEW this and go all out. But like, it was actually a bit of a sort of a dream for me because... ever since I was a teenager, I wanted to be a rock and roll star. I wanted to be in like my own rock band. I wanted to be in my new metal band. So this was a bit of a, I'm bad at it, but at least I got to do it and people got to see it. I mean, more people have watched this than have ever seen any of the gigs I've ever done.
I cannot believe this. I am so glad that you lost that bet, because I did not expect it to be this great whatsoever. So I say kudos. What are the people saying?
I mean, yeah, I think some people liked it. Anyway,
are you getting buried in the chat?
I think well, some people are burying me. I think some people are burying me. I think it's a mixed reaction, maybe. John, thank you so much for putting that music together. Like the track you did was excellent. I don't know if you can hear it as well. Like, John did all the little details in there as well.
I heard it.
Great job, John. Great job.
It was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's a hard song to sing, by the way. Like, it's really difficult. It's the way she does things is really. I had to multi-track layer it, because otherwise I couldn't get it all done.
She's brilliant, Luke. What do you expect?
Anyway, John, thank you so much. We will have you on this show properly, John, so we can talk about your music. We're going to get you, like, you might do some live music for us as well. So I thank you so much for coming onto the show and joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for the invite. And once again, awesome job, my man. And thank you to everybody.
Thank you so much. See you later, John. Thank you very much.
Oh, right. Well, viewers with your performance?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Some people tuned out for that.
Luke, how could this happen to you?
Well, we've got some other Ultra Chats that we need to get through.
I thought it was fantastic. Anybody who had an issue with that video is going to have to take it up with me.
I'll defend that. I want to hear a rap version next.
Yes. Oh, there you go.
Joe, it's because, like, the reason why I got so, like, panicky about it is because I was like, I mean, it's bad, but is it funny bad, or is it just bad? And I'm just going to put this video up for 3 minutes. And I was like, what were you doing? What were you thinking with this?
Has Kate seen it? Or has she not seen it?
No. Kate has not seen that yet. No. She heard me singing it, because, like, I told her, I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to have to do some shouting in a little bit.
She was like, this is going to be bad.
Yeah, pretty much.
I would have been like, you would have seen those divorce papers coming in like right after.
Eventually, I did it in two takes, technically three, because I did the whole chunk of it in one take, and then I did a second take with doing like the sort of the backing vocals and the falsetto stuff, and then I did the third take because I couldn't do the dang breakdown bit, which was like, when you're getting down with the dirty little eyes and the cheats in the world. Kept getting it wrong. It took me ages. I tried to do it live on both the other ones, and I got it wrong every time.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Congratulations. Jared, 5-star performance.
7 stars in the Tokyo Dome.
Damn.
Jared Hazelwood said, I think the fourth labor of Jericho, Wardlow, is going to get himself purposefully DQ'd just to punish Jericho with MJF. It's an outcome AEW hasn't abused, and I think it would give Jericho a lot of babyface momentum going into his fifth match.
Dude, all I know is that Jim Ross confused everybody during that episode. Yeah. I understood one thing, everybody was telling me something else, and then I was like, man, I must have not been paying attention. And then all of a sudden, turns out I was paying attention.
Benjamin John Milne said, I like to think that Hangman was going to announce that he was going back to Japan just in time for the G1 to prepare for an inevitable Omega rematch. Along the way, maybe reunites with Bullet Club and brings them into face AEW to face off against the Elite. What do you guys think? SB3.
That's an interesting take, and it doesn't have some credence to it because I know that Switchblade's going to be in Chicago on August 21st for Warrior Wrestling. True Hill Heat is sponsoring the event, and that's one day after the first dance at the United Center. So we could see that interplay coming up sooner than the G1.
What was the question?
So about like if Omega goes to New Japan to be in the G1 and then uses that a way to kind of like rejoin Bullet Club. And then you can do Bullet Club versus Elite.
That would be very interesting. Whether or not it's going to happen, I have no idea.
Tony P, a couple of things. Last time I was here, actually, just on that note, I want Hangman with the Dark Order. Is it just me? Like if he's going to have backup, I want it to be the Dark Order. I don't want it to be anyone else.
I agree. I got to shout out Stephanie Chase with the best analogy for Hangman and the Dark Order. They're like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs because there's actually seven of them. If you count them, there's actually seven of them. So I thought that was the best analogy. They just make your heart warm seeing them together.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That's really cute.
And the Seven Dorks. Tony P, a couple of things. Last time I was here, I asked what major interpromotional match you would like to see at a Wrestle Kingdom. I said Bucks and Kenny versus Jay White, G.O.D. Well, I changed my mind. Give me Juventud Guerrera, Bay, and Takahashi in a triple threat. What did you guys make of Juventud on the show? Denise, I mean, you're a friend of yours.
Well, here's the thing is I kind of felt bad that a lot of people thought that he was the problem in this match at the beginning. I was like, bruh. I was like, Juve was a little too fast for Jericho. Let's be real. Come on. And I love Jericho. Jericho's my favorite wrestler, but that's just the truth, you know? And I kind of got a little upset. Jim Ross was like, oh, he's rusty. I was like, bruh. That was it.
Oh, actually, just a correction as well. It was not Juve Guerrero. It was Sammy Guevara he was mentioning in the... So Guevara and Takahashi in a triple threat. That would be pretty rad, actually.
Oh, okay.
That would be fun.
Now I just went on a rant for no reason.
Well, I asked you about him. Tony says, is it wrong that I want to see Jericho versus Minoru Suzuki just to hear the crowd sing Judas and Kazanin RA? The match may suck, but the entrances would be 5 stars. What some current wrestlers that you want to see go to head-to-head in entrances?
In entrances?
Yeah. Like an entrance off.
Oh, like anybody?
Yeah, I guess so.
Ooh. I think Triple H has the greatest entrances. So I would go with Triple H. And who would be like my second favorite entrances?
I think if you're gonna have Triple H, you want to have someone who's got like a really egotistical entrance. So Cody Rhodes.
Cody's entrance is as creative though.
The pair of them smashing up icons of each other's like careers and stuff.
Absolutely, Triple H smashing like a Stardust statue with the sledgehammer. Yeah. That would be perfect.
I like it, yeah,
I would go with Jon Moxley versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Hearing Wild Thing and then the fans having to sing Nakamura's theme, I think would be really cool.
Nick Corvello's got a three-part question here that says, hey, Team Danuk and SP3, I wanted to mention that this week's Dynamite was my first Dynamite I attended live. And the very first time watching any televised wrestling live show, it was a blast. First off, being there live, watching Dark Elevation being taped before Dynamite was funny because Jade's promo said that she hasn't wrestled. Yet I just saw her wrestle on Elevation when it was taped. Ah, the joys of multi-event shows. Miro and Britt Baker chants completely drowned out the chants for Red Velvet and Lee Johnson, respectfully, when I was there live. Miro can definitely keep heel heat, but they need to do something about Britt because she is getting babyface reactions. When I was at Dynamite Live this week, Hikaru Shida had a match on Elevation. It was a good match, but the crowd were completely dead, despite all my efforts to get chants going for Shida. Denise and SP3, if you were to watch it and hear... if you were to watch Elevation this coming week and you hear one obnoxious deep-voiced male fan screaming his heart out for Shida, that's me. I did my best to build a support and had a sign held up. Saddest part was the post-match after I saw her demeanor and facial expressions. She looked dejected. Seeing her like that crushed me, and I hope that I see things on... and I hope I was either seeing things or this is just part of character development, not actually disgruntlement.
I feel like Britt Baker has been getting that babyface like responses for like a while. And I mean, even at Double or Nothing, when I was there in person, she got like the biggest reaction, like aside from Hangman Page. So it was like, yeah, I totally get that. But I think that the part of the reason is like because she's this like cool heel, you know? So yeah. I feel like it's working for what she's doing. Like she shouldn't be a babyface. Like she's it feels natural with what she's doing. It doesn't feel usually a lot of times like you're like, oh, this doesn't feel natural. Like this isn't what the people want. This isn't what's happening here. But at least I would say with that, it feels natural. So I get what he means by that, because that's something that you do notice right away. And I'll be on the lookout for those shouts.
Yeah, I agree with about the Britt Baker thing. Like what I'm really glad about is that they didn't just turn a baby face. Like that was my concern. Yeah. It was just like, you go with those reactions, you're like, well, let's just turn her face then. But like the character that people are into is the heel character. So like, I think she is getting good reactions, but like at least she's getting good reactions. If you turn a baby face and you go back to what Britt was in 2019, you might just kill all of that momentum that she's got. I think that would be a problem.
Right. That's exactly.
I think a little bit of Adam Cole is rubbing off on her, because Adam Cole has always been this cool heel. Like, that's why, like, I think Louis put out on Twitter a couple of weeks ago that he wants Adam Cole as a pure babyface. And I'm like, Adam Cole's been getting cheered for like 5 years now. Like, this is Adam Cole, and it's getting over. And I think that's the same thing you could say about Britt Baker, that she's just so over that she's getting cheered.
We've got a few here from Mr. CJ Lilly. Hi, gang. Wanted to ask you, what is next for Alexa now that she was now as she was screwed over nearly as much as Bray? Hold on, I need to go. What is next for Alexa now as she was screwed over nearly as much as Bray was? She put out as much effort into the character as he did, but now she is either getting unwarranted heat or it drops, wasting a year. To continue with Alexa dropping a character would be a waste of the good work that she's put in. Not a Lana terrible storyline where you can't drop it no matter what. We'll remember this story. So what she has to do is tame the heat, but not waste a year's work. So yeah, I guess that's because some people were bringing up the idea that if with Bray gone now, does Alexa drop the character, because that might just get an unnecessary anti-heat, because she is just, you know, the wish version of the Fiend. Like, I don't know, like Denise, what do you make of it?
I think that any heat that Alexa's getting on and off screen is unwarranted. At the end of the day, she's bringing her own version. She's not going to be identical to the Fiend. I'm sorry. You can't compare. She's doing her own version. And I actually think she's knocking it out of the park. Do I agree with everything that they've been giving her and what they've had her do? No. But in terms of her performance and like how cute she looks when she comes out and, you know, everything else, like everything that's gone into the production of it, I like all the stuff that she's been doing. Am I a fan of it though? It's not really for me, but I appreciate the work and creativity that she herself has brought into the role that she's been given. And I feel bad. I feel bad that a lot of people were blaming her for them. I hate when people are blaming the person who's not necessarily at blame for the decisions being made. Alexa Bliss isn't making decisions. She's not the person saying, hey, let's get rid of the Fiend. Come on. Like, I just think people are trying to find their anger elsewhere. And they all know Vince McMahon doesn't run his Twitter account. So it's like, they're not going to go attack him. Or at least I don't know if they're attacking him. But, you know, come on.
Let's be honest. Like, this Alexa Bliss character hasn't been a Fiend character since WrestleMania. It is not a Fiend character anymore. Like they completely separated the two out. So I think it's very harsh for them to be like, oh, well, they only got rid of her because they got rid of Bray because they've got a new version. They haven't. Like, there's a different character.
Exactly.
It's a completely different deal. Am I into it? Not particularly, but I think she puts her work into it. I don't know. What do you make of SP3? Like I think the stuff she's been doing with Eva has probably been the stuff I've enjoyed the most out of her, really.
Yeah, because they finally got her in an established like babyface role, and you get the humor out of the whole Lily gimmick. Like, I love the stuff. I was one of the minority here with liking the Lily Lucian little segment that they did, because it was playing off of the evolution, and you know, Eva Marie is so obnoxious and such a heel that it's a great role for Alexa Bliss to be placed against her, because we know what she's going for. I feel like such a long time she was like babyface with The Fiend, but feuding with Nikki Cross at one point. Then she's feuding with, you know, Randy Orton, but she's coming off like the heel because she keeps like annoying him and bothering him and haunting him. So I feel like she's finally in the role that she can get over with.
Because for Mr. Sheila, one last one here that says, Denise, I watched your two interviews with Nikki at ASH, and with all the drama lately, have you or Sean tried to get an interview with Alexa to get her side on things? Have you tried to reach out to Alexa to get interviews, or WWE offered?
WWE tells me who they want me to interview, so I interview who they give me.
Yeah. Martial arts. I think another reason why WWE fears wrestling. Oh, we just had that one. Ten Ruzer. The WWE are so lucky that they have TV deals that they do. They better not rely on that. They need new stars ASAP. Also, SP3, what does your wife do at WWE? Thanks for the entertainment, guys.
She works at WWE headquarters. She deals with a little bit of like the wellness policy tests, because she has like a medical background. So sometimes I hear of certain WWE superstars that fail certain things, but and it explains why they're off television. But I don't share those things because I want her to keep her job, especially in this time and climate of WWE.
Exactly.
That's a smart man right there. Like, that is a smart man.
I think he'd be like an easy person to spot if they like, you know, yeah, smart, smart.
Kevin May said, I had a question about why Goldberg is seen as a threat, but have just seen Luke's Taylor Swift video. Michael Dominguez thought Hit Row cutting Spanish promos was a bit racy. Asked Pete if they thought it was and got heat for asking. Now NXT this week is definitely racist. I was brown in Iowa. You learn real hate. WWE has a big history in crossing the line. What do you guys think?
So what was he asking? What was racy besides the Io Shirai thing?
So Hit Row cutting a Spanish promo.
Oh, I wasn't a fan of that. For me personally, I wasn't a fan of it. Not necessarily because they did it. It was more so of the fact that my issue is with the way that the Hispanic talent is always being presented as like, it's like their sole personality. That was my thing. I didn't care necessarily for the rap. It was just more so of like, why do you always got to make it your entire personality? You know, that sort of thing.
DKC returns said, guys, I'm a lapsed fan. I've gotten super into pro wrestling again in the last few months. So much so that all I want to do is hear all the people talk about the happenings. Love you, Antonis, SRS, Stephen Larson, SP3. I owe it all to AEW. Also, by the way, because of the t-shirt I was wearing, apparently the chat named my cover Swift Knot.
Yeah, what shirt were you wearing?
I was wearing a Slipknot t-shirt.
Slipknot. That's great. That's your band. There you go. Your one man band. Or two man band, technically.
Yeah, two man. Yeah, me and John just doing Taylor Swift covers, and I'll just badly sing over the top of them. So that t-shirt as well is signed by all members of Slipknot. I got it signed.
Framed then and not like on your body.
Well, here's a fun story for you. I posted this on Twitter recently. It was after Joey Jordison had passed away. I was at Reading Festival 02, and I was wearing that Slipknot t-shirt, and I went to the signing booth, and I didn't queue up with the rest of the marks. I just basically just stood at the railing and stuff, because like, that is good British sarcasm. What the bands tend to do is that after like they've done all the people have queued up to sign, is they then just go around like the guardrails and just sign things that people are like handing to them, right? So I used to take down my album artwork and people would sign that, like the inlays and CD inlays and stuff. And I had that for Iowa, but I was wearing the Slipknot t-shirt and Sean the Clown kept looking at me. And I was like waving at him and stuff. And he was just like, yeah, rock on and all this and the other. And in the end, I was just like, just took my t-shirt off and I just threw it at him. And I just threw it at the t-shirt and
You're
he caught it.
Those, Luke.
And he caught it. And he signed it. He signed it. He passed it down the line. The rest of them signed it. Security guy came back and handed it to me. And I was like, this rules. Yeah, I got it signed. And then they all came around and I got them to sign my album artwork and stuff like that.
So you're the male equivalent of the girls who throw their bras and panties at their favorite boy band.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Luke. And I was throwing my underwear at Slipknot. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe it. I feel like I'm learning this whole new side of you today. Really,
but then A friend of mine, Stevie Toucans, I cannot remember what happened. It must have just been a drunken thing or whatever. He didn't have a t-shirt to wear. Like, his t-shirt got ruined. He didn't have a t-shirt to wear. So it was like a couple of weeks later. And it was the only t-shirt I had to hand to lend it to him. So I lent him my signed Slipknot t-shirt. And I said, dude, just be careful with this, because I've got it signed by all members of the band. Be careful with this.
Wait, who'd you lend it to?
A friend of mine from school.
We used to call him Stevie Toucans.
Because he needed a t-shirt and I'm a good friend, Denise. So I lent him that.
Oh, hells no. Why would you lend somebody something signed?
And then his mum put it in the wash. So,
Luke, you have yourself to blame. I don't blame his mom. I don't blame him. I blame you for this. How could you do that? Give him a white t-shirt. Give him something else.
It's all I had. It's all I had to hand. So I got him that, and yeah, I got it back off him. And so it's, you can still make out most of the signatures, but some of them are a little bit smudged because they're like washed out a little bit. And, you know, it was nearly 20 years ago, but you can still make it out. You can still see Joey's signature. You can still make out most of them.
I have a collection of Taylor Swift magazines that aren't even signed. Let's be real. I can probably look for them if I worked hard enough online. Yeah, when anybody comes over to this room, they are not even allowed to breathe next to them, okay?
Jesus.
And then you lent a signed t-shirt with all the members. I'm not even a fan of this group, but I'm offended.
So my question is, you know, I know Denise is a Swiftie. So are you like a Slippy or a Naughty, Luke?
We're Maggots. Thank you very much.
Maggots. Is that really the group name, like the fan name?
Yeah, we're the Maggots.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, that's Slipknot for you. I used to love going to Slipknot shows. They were
like,
rad.
I don't want to be a Maggot.
Oh, they were so rad. And he just like, and like, it makes you get down on your knees and stuff. And then you jump the F
like
up.
Like Maggots, you're rad. On your knees.
It was so awesome. Those were the days. I ain't going to gigs like that anymore.
You talk about me saying stuff that could be misconstrued. You know, you just said get on your knees. Like come on. They made me get on my knees. Like,
yeah, that's okay. So hold on. You took off your shirt. You got on your knees.
Oh yeah. In the pit with all the other maggots.
In the pit with all the other maggots. I mean, come on, Luke. What kind of life are you living here? Oh,
just go, like, all you got to do, just go and like watch it, because I think during Spit It Out, like, just go and watch some videos during Spit It Out. It's rad. It's the best. I'm going to watch some Slipknot videos when I'm editing later. It's brilliant. NC Ogre says, first time I've ever enjoyed a Taylor Swift song. Danny G said, I heard my parents having sex when I was a kid. For a long time, I thought that was the worst thing I'd ever heard, until I heard Luke sing Shake It Off.
I don't have a response to that. I don't have a response to that. No comment. No comment.
Just No Yes said, when Luke did Denise's voice, I couldn't hear the difference. Can Luke do a Taylor Swift song as Denise for the next video?
Oh my God, that would be brilliant. You should do it.
OGP, yeah, you know me, said, Luke needs to lose bets more often. That was epic. Next, a metal cover of TLC No Scrubs for TLC, or The Motto by Drake and Lil Wayne. We used to do TLC covers for every TLC event. We would get, the three of us would get together and we would do sing TLC.
I want to hear you sing the Spice Girls. I'll tell you what I want. I really, really want that song.
So tell me what you really, yeah, that'd be rad.
Okay, but it's just crazy because like your voice, like to me, sounds like so fancy and so like British. But then when you sing, you're like this. It's very different.
When I'm in my car and I am driving and I'm listening to my favorite new metal tracks from 20 years ago because I'm arrested development and I refuse to learn new stuff, I'm bellowing these things out, right? And I'm screaming on the top of my head. And in my head, I'm like, dude, you can do it. Like, you can sing just like these guys. You're just as good as Jonathan Davis. You're just as good. You can do a Fred Durst, obviously, because anyone can. You can do this sort of thing. And then I did it, and I was like, oh, no, I can't. Yeah, it turns out I can't. It's just, it sounds like I can. But the practice is I can't. Like, the reality is I can't do it.
Poor Luke. I'm sorry. Your heavy metal dreams are over. They died with my pop star dreams.
I saw you were disappointed you weren't a Disney star when you were a kid.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I really wanted to be a Disney Channel star. And I always thought that it would happen for me. And then I made zero effort into putting my Disney Channel career. And so it never happened to me. So, but then again, like, I don't got like fancy parents with connections or anything like that. Like, how the hell was I going to get this job at Disney Channel?
What was your childhood dream, SP3? What did you want to be?
I wanted to be on All That. I wanted to be one of the All That cast members. I thought I would have been perfect with them because I was always called a class clown. So I was like, yeah, I would fit in nicely with the All That cast.
You see, if we just had these connections, we would have had these dreams.
Oh, absolutely. What is that one said? New metal of the most part is an abomination. Correct. Kevin May said, Luke, I love it. Kevin May said, Luke, I should add that your music video was tipping me over into becoming a Patreon level worthy of enjoyment. On a general note, it's very exciting to be a wrestling fan at the moment. Recently, we've had AEW, New Japan, NWA, and Impact all on one show.
That is true.
Love to see it. Right. Well, that is all of the Ultra Chats that we've got in. Thank you all so, so much for joining us. Thank you all so much for your feedback as well. It was very, very nice for you to say that. Ollie messaged me to say that he thought it was very funny. So I'm glad that
You're very lucky. You're not fired.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I gave you your own channel and this is what you do with it?
Seriously. The creative team is just running wild.
There were moments there, though, where I was watching it through my fingers, being like, well, that was a bad edit. Like, that matters.
You should have taken off your shirt like you did at the signing.
I was 15. I didn't know any better. I'm just like, was I 15? 2002. No, I was 16. I was 16 in 2002. I was just like, they were the coolest guys, man. Slipknot were the coolest guys in 2002.
I have no comment.
Oh, man. Anyway, if you ever lose a bet, Denise, I know what I'm picking for you to do. I'm going to pick like a...
I'm not making any more bets with you. I won. I don't got to prove myself anymore. We're done. I'm not going to give you a rematch. Why would I give you a rematch? You lost.
She's like, I'm undefeated.
This is good storytelling. I need to have... Yeah, it's good storytelling. Why would I give you a rematch? I'm not into that.
All right, but thank you all so much for joining us. SP3, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's always a blast to have you around. Could you please tell people where to find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TrueHeelSP3. You can go over and subscribe to my YouTube channel, True Heel Heat, closing in on about 2,000. We're trying to hit that goal by the end of the year, as well as Wrestling Daily YouTube channel, because we want to have Quizzle Mania War Games. So we're closing in on 12.5, but we're trying to make our way to 15,000 to make that happen, go against Luke and all the Wrestle Talk boys, myself, Alex McCarthy, Stephanie Chase, Sat E Yankee, the newest member of Wrestling Daily. So we want to have the Daily boys and the crew over against our Wrestle Talk on Quizzlemania. Thank you so much, Luke. Thank you so much, Denise, for having me. It was a pleasure to be here for your epic music video, to be on screen with Luke again. Thank you so much. You opened the doors to Wrestle Talk, and I'm here to stay. And Denise, it was an honor to finally share the screen with you, a fellow American, a part of the Wrestle Talk gang.
Thumbs up.
Here to stay, also a Korn song. Denise, what have you got going on at the moment?
All right, so first and foremost, guys, I will be ring announcing at GCW this Saturday. You guys can check out that show. That's going to be, you guys can watch it on Fight. If you are in the SoCal area, you can't go anymore because the tickets are sold out. So, but you can watch it on Fight. And then other than that, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo, Twitter and Instagram at _Denise Salcedo. Like Luke says, I'm always going viral. It's going to be my new pitch. I go viral.
Oh, yeah. I felt like my own little Denise Salcedo this week because I had a tweet that did 3,000 likes. That never happens.
Is it the Ronda Rousey one?
Yeah.
I saw that. I saw it and I was like, wow, Luke got edgy.
I actually quoted him on Wrestling Daily because that's one of my favorite movies. Clerks is an all-time GOAT movie. Top five all time.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, legit, I actually finished that music video like 5 minutes before we were going live. I was sat here like watching it export and I'm like, man, I hope this goes quickly because I need to get it loaded into the back end and everything.
I'm very impressed with the outcome of the video. I thought it was very, very awesome. And I'm actually surprised it got it done so fast. Like, I feel like that would have taken me like at least a full day or something.
It was pretty like hastily put together. I filmed two of the shots at the same time because one of them was on my phone, the other one was on my camera. And then the stuff I did in the garden, I was like, oh, I need some stuff. I need some coverage to plug up holes where I haven't done a good job here. So like, I'll just go and run in the garden for a bit and try some cartwheels or something.
I actually thought this was probably one of some of the best parts, like your cartwheel and then just like running crazy in the garden. Like if your name, could you, any of your neighbors see into your garden?
Oh, they probably can do. Yeah. Like,
they're probably like, he's gone mad.
Well, my new neighbors moved in recently, like next door, and we had the conversation with the question was up, what do you do for a living? And I was like, I make videos for YouTube. And it's like,
so they probably thought that you're just like doing those like prankster videos on YouTube or something like that.
Exactly, yeah. And then they're like, oh, really? I was like, yeah. They're like, oh, what about? It's about pro wrestling.
And oh, no, you couldn't avoid it.
And then go like, oh, right, yeah, yeah. And I was like, yeah, a lot of people pull that face whenever I tell them.
Just say sports next time. Be like sports.
They're going to be like, oh, brackets sport. General.
Yeah. Well, make something up. You got to come up with a lie now.
What do you got planned for this weekend?
Okay, so Saturday I have GCW, which is, I'm kind of nervous, but because, you know,
so
I haven't ring announced like in a year. So it's like, you know, the first event back is like this event. So I was like, oh man, I hope I do good, you know? And then Sunday's my day off. So I don't have anything really going on Sunday. I might catch up with whatever I decide to get lazy about today. What about you?
I think we got pretty much a free weekend. Barbecue that we had planned for last weekend got a little bit rained out because the rain happened. And our trip to the seaside was a little bit rained off as well. But it was, you know, we still did it, but like it was, we just were under the cover in a pub, trying to hide away from the rain.
Well, I know you mentioned that there was gonna be rain already, so at least you kind of knew going into it already that it was gonna kind of ruin your week.
Yeah, like when we on the Sunday, like I just texted my friends being like, we're going to pivot to doing an indoor barbecue. So they were pretty happy about it. Like everyone was like just thrilled to see each other and stuff because it's the first time like we've seen each other since like March. So like last year, March. So it was nice for us all to kind of be together again. So that was lovely.
Oh, that's really cool.
We're just going to have a quiet one this weekend. Just the two of us, chill out. Got a Makeaway box tonight, so we're gonna have that and have a few drinks. I'm gonna crack open a beer in a minute, in fact, actually.
Wow.
My throat's a bit sore, Denise.
Well, yeah, from all of your rock and roll singing, you're a rock star now. Live the dream. Get those leather pants.
My throat's sore. But that's pretty much me for the weekend. Like, I haven't really got much going on at the moment.
Man, we have pretty like, well, I mean, except for Saturday, we kind of have pretty much like nothing really going on, which is kind of nice though. I do appreciate like those very slow weeks, like when there's nothing going on. I kind of want those. Like, I haven't had a weekend where I literally don't have anything to do, and I really miss that because I just kind of want to be bored, you know. I haven't felt bored in a very long time. I want to feel bored so I can feel relaxed.
So what's going on with GCW on Saturday?
So it's going to be a pretty fun show. Like, they have like 9 matches announced so far. It's apparently going to be like one of the biggest shows in LA in like a very long time, obviously because of COVID. And then also plus like, they're just expecting like a lot of people. I don't exactly know the exact number on that, but I'm pretty sure it's like over 1,000. I'm not really entirely sure. So yeah, I'm a little bit nervous, but we'll see how that goes. I mean, I'm hoping that if I do good, maybe I'll do a couple more events. You never know. We'll see. I guess it just really depends on how I do.
Well, I mean, you're pretty competent. Ring announcer and stuff.
Like, yeah, but it's been a while though. I'm gonna be a little rusty.
I don't know, dude. I think it might be one of those things that, like, as soon as you step through those ropes, it'll be like, it'll all flood back to you. Be like, oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Because I was doing it every weekend for, like, at least over a year. Every single weekend I had shows. And then I, you know, when being a live MC is different from being a ring announcer, but it still has a lot of the same features, like a lot of the same skills you need to have to be an MC and a ring announcer. But it's just more of like, you know, obviously I don't know, like, all the talents information by heart. When I was working like with the same promotion, I kind of already knew everybody's name and cities like by heart. Like, so I didn't really have to worry about that. So like this time I do have to have like notes and stuff so that I can obviously, you know, remember like where everybody's from and all of that.
Yeah, that's going to be the hard bit, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. That, and also just getting familiar with the talent, because there are some names that I'm not familiar with. So I'm like, okay, well, I got to get familiar with this person. And I've been watching the shows and, you know, trying to get familiar with everybody.
And then you were like, do you sit at ringsides during the matches?
I have no idea. Yeah. I think so. I'm pretty sure. Usually that's how they do it.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, we, you know, the pair of us have got stuff that we need to do, so I'll let you enjoy the rest of your Friday. But thank you all so much for tuning in for today's show. It was a lot of fun. It was an absolute blast. Do you know what? So I said to my wife, I don't like that song. So I'm just going to say that out now. Like, I, of the Taylor Swift songs you could have picked, it's not my favorites.
Well, Shake It Off is more of like a fun song to sing. Like, it's easy to like, you don't have to be like, all like, oh, you know, with the vocals.
No, but I can do the falsetto bit. That's the easy bit. But like, it was, I just don't like the song. I don't know what it is about it as well.
You're
like,
not a happy person, Luke. You're evil. You're evil inside. You're all made of stone on the inside.
Yeah. Because I'm just hanging out with the rest of the maggots and we're just on board with this happy-go-lucky stuff.
Exactly. I have a feeling it's going to be your favorite song by the end of the year.
Oh, it's been stuck in my head all week.
Because I've
been listening to it like nonstop to try and get it, like to try and, you know, memorize stuff. But I had to still read the lyrics off it, the monitor when I was recording it, because I couldn't remember them.
It's just Shake It Off like a bunch of times.
Yeah, but there's other stuff too as well. Yeah. I didn't realize the second chorus was different. I thought it was the same as the first one.
Yeah, no, it's
the second half of it.
She puts a lot of like brilliant lyrics, and like the way that she maneuvers her songs is fantastic. You'll come to see that soon, Luke. If you could lose a couple more bets, I'm just gonna have you make every single Taylor Swift song ever.
I mean, you've already got me there with Style, because that song's that's a stone cold banger. That's a
Man, you got the same favorite Taylor Swift song as Sean. I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it?
She just has like a million other songs that I just think are like to die for. And now two people have told me that Style's their favorite. And I'm like, what?
Stone Cold Banger. It's a great
track. It's just one of those things, like the way I compared it to is like if you tell somebody like, oh, like which wrestler do you know? And they're like Hulk Hogan. It's kind of like that, you know?
Yeah, I get you.
Like, yeah, it's popular. Everybody knows that you liked it. But it's like there's other stuff too, you know?
Yeah. I suppose, yeah, it'd be like if someone said, oh, my favorite Slipknot track is Wait and Bleed. Oh, they haven't said that. Maybe I would say the same thing, because that is an absolutely banging song. Anyway, do you know what? Like, that's
but there's more is what you're trying to get. Yeah, like, it's a great song. More, yeah. It's just that there's more and you're like, what the heck? Like, you haven't even discovered the rest. I feel like your answer would be different if you had heard all the other songs.
Maybe, but like I will say, like when Joey Jordison passed away a couple of weeks back, like that was the first thing I did. I went to YouTube and I was like, what Slipknot song do I want to watch? And I instantly went to Wait and Bleed, and I was like, that's the song I want to watch, because it's a video of them playing it live. That's what I'm in the mood for, because it's great. But anyway, do you know what? Let's get out of here. Let you go enjoy the rest of your Friday. I'm gonna go and have myself a little beer. Thank you all so much for listening. We will see you next week with another special guest. In fact, I can tell you who next week's special guest is. Let me get the plan up. I believe, where is it? Come on now, guests. It's Grand Pooh Bear next week, which I'm really excited to have. Yeah, I'm really excited to have Pooh Bear on the show. And then we won't be on the SummerSlam week, but we will be the week after that with Sean Ross Sapp on the show.
Fantastic. Wait, so we won't be on the 20th,
we haven't got, no, because we're doing live reactions to Rampage.
Okay, yeah, that was the day that I think I wasn't going to be able to make it either way. That's so right, yeah. And I wasn't sure if I had told you already or not. No, I just told you for All Out. All Out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Which is the September 3rd show, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So cool. Yeah. We'll figure something out. It'll be fine. But anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Pete and Tempest are back tomorrow with the SmackDown review. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Rumble, now is live.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.